Please remain standing and turn now to our scripture reading from Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, 1 through 5. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, 1 through 5. Let us hear God's word. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all. But the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before him. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. This is evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Thus far ends the reading of God's word. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to focus on these words from the writer of Ecclesiastes, who, though there has been much discussion in biblical circles about its author, I do believe the author of Ecclesiastes is Solomon. And I'd like to focus on something that he says in verse 4 in making my remarks this morning. Actually, it's verse 3. Truly, the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. Now, most people, if they ever speak of the book of Ecclesiastes, will be surprised if you tell them that it is the book that contains the famous words, "To every thing there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun, a time to be born, and a time to die." Most people have heard that. And most people have even heard the song, the popular contemporary song in the 70s that put that Bible verse to music. I assure you, though, this book has a lot more important things to say about God and man and life. Your life. And our text today is one such text. It's a text that probably nobody ever bothers to quote. It's hardly known by anybody. But the words couldn't be more important to everybody. You. If you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to find that the book breaks down into a number of sections. The earlier part of the book involves the writer, Solomon, wrestling with an overarching question. And the question is simply this: what is the meaning and purpose of life. What is the meaning and purpose of life? And of course, he's asking that question because he wants to find out what is going to make him happy. What's going to give him a sense of fulfillment in life? It's going to help give him an answer to the question, why? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Perhaps you've had times when you're asking that very question yourself. Solomon, the king of Israel, was a very great and powerful king, and probably had more wealth than anyone who ever lived. He had the luxury of being able to indulge himself in anything he wanted. And so as you go through the earlier chapters of Ecclesiastes, you find Solomon experimenting with having various different things and seeing if those very different things answer the question, why? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And so you see him acquiring much land, raising crops. You see him amassing enormous amounts of wealth, living in unparalleled luxury. You see him engaged in culture and artistic pursuits. You see him dabbling in other religions and world philosophies. You see him ruling over vast amounts of territory. All of these things, all of these activities, all of these pursuits, Solomon concludes that they don't give him meaning and purpose in life. And that's why he keeps going from one to the next. He keeps trying everything out he can to find out who he is, why he's here, and what is his purpose. And nothing he tries from the world answers those questions to Solomon's satisfaction. Again, he had all the resources to do everything and to study everything about the world. Nothing was spared. But in the end, he found out that there was nothing. Nothing he could do. Nothing he could experiment with that was going to give him meaning and purpose in life. Was going to answer the big question, why? And so, throughout the book of Solomon, throughout Ecclesiastes, you get this refrain of a signature phrase that occurs throughout the verse, throughout the book. And it goes something like this: vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And sometimes it'll add, and a striving after the wind. A futile striving after the wind. Solomon even got to the point of understanding and realizing something that the psalmist, most likely David, his father, wrote. Something important about life itself. Life itself lived in this world, seeking after the things of this world. David wrote in Psalm 90, "The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they may be 80, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For soon it is cut off, and we fly away. Oh, Solomon's conclusions about life and the pursuit of meaning from this world are dark. Too pessimistic. He has too pessimistic views of life. He must have been eating the wrong stuff, or thinking the wrong things, or taking a dose of the wrong medicine. But life, you see, for him, trying to find meaning and happiness or purpose in this life, there was nothing there. In fact, the rabbis tend to ignore the book of Ecclesiastes, indicating to them, it's too dark. And one of the reasons it's too dark and too pessimistic is that we as human beings rebel at hearing we can't find meaning and purpose in life from this world. We don't like to think that because, you see, we are oriented. We live in this world. We're creatures of this world. But we're also oriented toward the world. And thinking that the world, if we just had this, if we just had that, if we just had more of this, if we just had more of that, then we'll be satisfied. We're oriented that way, friends, because we must be, as sinners. Because the one thing that will give us life, will give us purpose, will give us meaning in life, is to know God. And we can't go there. Do you all follow me? So we engage in this endless pursuit. As a creature of God, in a created world that He created, trying to find meaning and purpose without Him. And, I mean, it's madness! And that's what Solomon says. It's madness. And we go, you see, without submitting to God being in control of our lives, we go from one pursuit to the next, trying to find meaning. For some people, various different things. Power. You know, if I just could conquer the world, I'd have a purpose and I'd be meaning. I'd have meaning to my life. I'd have joy. Or if I just had more money than everybody else. Or if I was able to do the most amazing things nobody else could do. If I just had my neighbor's Ferrari. Or his house, or his wife. I'd be happy. When I was younger, I played the trumpet. I wished I could play the trumpet like Wynton Marsalis, although he's a little bit beyond me. I was into the Al Hurt thing. But these things cannot give you meaning and purpose in life. And the pursuit of these things. You know, There is nothing new under the sun. And it might be packaged as something new. There's all these new kinds of things. You know, now we've got this digital age in which we live and all the blessings of technology. Do you think technology is going to give you a purpose in life? Going to give you meaning in life? Suppose you become the world's greatest programmer. Suppose you become the world's greatest leaker of secrets. That's going to give you meaning and purpose in life? That's going to define who you are? That's going to answer the question, why? No. It doesn't, you know, we just keep going over the same old things. It's never anything new. It may be packaged as new, but it's old. There's only a limited number of things that are going to provide meaning and happiness, but man keeps searching. Man keeps searching to find it. But he refuses to search in the one place where it can be found. Now if you know the story of Solomon, you know that at some point, Solomon went way beyond just searching for things. He got involved in some rather ungodly activities, worshiping of other gods, marrying foreign women or unbelieving women, and nevertheless, whenever this passage was written, but with God's inspiration, God did give to Solomon the answer to his quest. And it's an answer that you and I need to hear. As Solomon concludes the book of Ecclesiastes, on the one hand, he says, there's madness in the human heart as long as it lives. But then he juxtaposes that statement with something that we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, near the end of the book. Here he gives to his readers the answer to the place where anyone can find meaning and purpose in life. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And you see, what does he mean? The whole matter. It's all of what he's been doing, all of what he's been talking about, all of the searching, all of the experimenting he's been doing. What is the conclusion? Hear it. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Maybe you're hearing this message right now and you're looking at your own life and you're wondering, what's missing? You're wondering, why am I not happy? Why don't I know what I'm supposed to be doing? And you're going down the road of doing the same kinds of searches that Solomon has gone through. When you're trying to find the answers. I mean, this is not fun and games. This is real. This is reality. This is reality sermon. This impacts all of us. And maybe you're in the dark. You don't know where to turn. The Bible gives the answers. Fear God. That, friends, is where it starts. That's where it all starts. Fear God. Fear God. So many important things are linked in the Bible to the fearing of God. If you fear God, you will stop the search, because you will found something to believe in. That God is someone to be feared because of who He is. You're not the creator. He is. He's not the creature. You are. Fear God. Give reverence to God. As Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 puts it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. True knowledge. Where are we going to find knowledge if it isn't from our Creator, who made knowledge and everything else there is? Where are we going to find it? If we're going to cut Him out of everything in this world, if we're going to have a world where God doesn't exist, the Creator that everybody knows exists, look in the sky. Look at the stars. Look at the variety of creation. God exists. He is. If we're going to cut Him out, Romans chapter 1 says, if you deny God and suppress the truth and unrighteousness, your foolish heart will become darkened. You can't know. You got a dark heart. You know, you can't know the light. You can't know the truth. It all starts with Him. Fear God is the beginning of knowledge. Did I add the other part of that verse? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Begin, you see, by acknowledging that God is. He is the I am who I am. And you're not. He is the creator. He holds the power to life, to death, and knowledge. Come to the point where you humbly ask God to forgive your sin. The sin of trying to live without Him. Trying to ignore Him. Try to search for everything in the world but Him. Why is it? And why is it that God won't even get a sniff from people who are looking for meaning and purpose to life? Why is it? If God is speaking to your heart this morning, and God is saying to you, give me a chance. Will you listen? Give me a chance to show you how you might truly live. Will you live? Will you listen? Proverbs 14:27 writes, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Seek His answers to meaning and purpose in life through His Word. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Now please understand, He is not saying keep the commandments so that by keeping them, by you keeping them, you will guarantee that you are saved and you'll find meaning and purpose. He is saying keep His commandments because that is your duty as His creature. That is your duty. And you will keep them. If you really love God, you will keep them to give Him glory and praise and deflect glory and praise from yourself. I believe if you ask, God will mercifully help you. And He will mercifully show you to find the greatest of all of His blessings. Namely, His Son, Jesus Christ. A voice came out of the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And the voice said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. And you might say, well, what am I doing? Am I supposed to sit around and listen for God to say a voice to me, an audible voice that I can hear? No, God said, hear him. Here is his word. Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And then a little later, John says, without him, nothing that is made was not made. He is the Word. If you want to know what gives you meaning in life, it makes sense that you listen to the one who is the leader of life, the author and the captain of your salvation, Jesus Christ. And you can read about him here. You can read about his words. You can read about what gives meaning and purpose to life. It's a connection with him. It's defined by repentance and faith in him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John, the author of that epistle, said this: these things I have written to you. And what were these things he was talking about? They were that epistle of John, called 1 John. He said, these things I have written to you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you know that you have eternal life? Ask yourself that question. And when you try to answer it, do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Upon finding Jesus and eternal life, you don't need to keep searching for meaning and purpose in this world. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus gives you purpose. Serve him. Live for him. Glorify him in all that you do. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent in his name. You shall be saved. Commit yourself to knowing his words, which are truth. Live for his glory. And stop the never-ending madness. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord our God, do your work. Do your work in your servants, Lord. Those whom you've called out of this darkness and called out of this madness. Lord, I pray that it will be your good pleasure to bring your people to you and ever closer to you through faith and repentance by the application of the Word of God to our hearts through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.